Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's give Jesus Christ a hand. Come on, somebody. If you're grateful that God stepped into your life, give God a great hand. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to first and foremost thank God for my salvation. I also want to thank God for this beautiful ministry of Victory Outreach. Amen. I also want to thank God for Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, and thank God for Pastor Charlie giving me this opportunity to come behind this pulpit. Amen. I don't take this lightly, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. Amen. Tonight, if you're taking notes, I titled this message, The Importance of Understanding How to Build the Kingdom of God. Amen. I really believe that when it comes to serving God, we have to grow our understanding. You know, we come into the things of God. Some of us may grow up in church. Amen. Some of us did not grow in church like myself, but we have to get to a place to understand that God is in full control, and the way that we see things and the way that we think has to line up with God's way. Amen. As children of God, we've all been called to build God's kingdom, which is our lives. Amen. And in order for us to be able to build the kingdom of God, we have to do it the way God wants to do it. Amen. And not do it the way we see it or how we understand it to be done, but we have to do it according to God's word and according to God's understanding. Can I get an amen, somebody? You know, when it comes to life, we got to have an understanding. You know, if it's an understanding on how to work or labor, amen, or whatever the case may be, you know. But I come to realize, as being saved, there's two types of understandings that we have in this life. It's a human understanding of life and a God understanding, you know, which is correct. Can I get an amen, somebody? You know, if we truly want to serve God and be effective as children of God, we have to willingly accept God's understanding of life and not ours. Amen. Like Brother Felipe said, I've been in the ministry now over 8 years, and I thank God for that. You know, and I'm not trying to brag on myself, but I know I'm here because of I had to make a choice to let go of my ways of thinking and the ways I seen things and adapt the way God sees things. And I'm the first to admit it's hard. Amen. But I know God's in control, and I know he know what he's doing. So with that said, we had to be those that got to trust in God. Amen. And sometimes it gets hard, you know, serving God and trusting in his ways and his understanding. And because his understanding is, like the Bible says, his thoughts and his ways is higher than ours. And sometimes it gets hard, but, you know, it's for the better if we want to truly grow as men and women of God. Amen. If you could turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Amen. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. The Bible reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Amen. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time. And I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity, Lord God, to be behind your pulpit this evening, Lord God. I ask you that you open up our hearts and our minds, and I pray that you'll grow our understanding of you and what we have been called to be, Lord God. And I pray every word that you speak to me, Lord God, will land on good for the ground tonight. And I pray that everything you speak tonight, Lord God, will apply to our daily lives, my God. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' my name we pray. And the church says, amen. I'm going to reread that scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, the old life has gone and new life has begun. Amen. That brings me to my first point of the evening. It says here, that scripture means to me that our old understanding of life has passed away. The way we think, the way we saw things, the way we operated, it passed away. Amen. Now, we must embrace our new understanding of life, which is God's understanding. Amen. I know for a fact, if I would continue to think the way I used to think in the world, I wouldn't be here this evening. Amen. And as men of God and women of God, we have to come to that realization, you know, that God's understanding, the way he sees things, is different than ours. And his way is correct. Amen. Our way of understanding the life got us almost locked up. Come on, somebody. Gang banging, addicted to drugs, doing things that we shouldn't do, that we shouldn't been doing. Amen. And by the grace of God, we are able to be here tonight. Can I get an amen, somebody? So that's a place to get God in hand. Come on, somebody. It's very important that we let go of the way we understand and the way we see things when it comes to life and serving God. You know, if we want to truly grow, we got to let go of that. You know, I look at Brother Felipe, I seen him when he first came into the church, and now he's been here many years later, and he's a home director, you know, he's a husband, he's a father, and he's been very effective within the ministry, and I believe one of the reasons why is because he allowed himself to trust in God and the way God sees things, amen, and he let go of the way he understands things, and he allowed God to lead him, and by him doing that, he's here tonight, he's been growing in the things of God, and I'm very proud of him, and that's for all of us, you know, if we want to grow and become the pastors or the evangelists or the directors or whatever God calls to be, we have to learn how to see things from God's perspective, amen. And any of y'all know when I come to preaching, I like to look up meanings of words and stuff that stuck out to me. And that word understanding, you know, it stood out to me. And I looked it up in a dictionary, and it means simply the ability to understand something, to comprehend something, and to have a mental grasp of something. Amen. And we all here tonight, we had the God-given ability to understand what God has called us to do in his kingdom, but it's up to us to dig into the word of God and to continue to grow in order for us to find out what that is. Amen. You know, and when it comes to life in general, we have to understand. If it's like working on a car or building a house, we can't just go work on a car. We have to get an understanding of how to do that. Amen. And that's the same with building the kingdom of God. That's why Pastor Charlie always stressing prayer and reading and studying God's word, because that's what gives us the understanding God wants us to have in order for us to be effective in the building in God's kingdom. Amen. You know, we all have that choice. You know, we don't have to adapt God's understanding for our lives, but if we don't, you know, we're not able to grow in the things of God, and we hinder God from moving within our lives and taking us to that level he wants us to take us to. Amen. And you know, and we have to understand God chooses how he wants to go by to give us his understanding. Like for me, I started in the home 8 years ago, you know, and it went to the UTC many years later, and, you know, that's up to God how he wants to do that. You know, some of us here tonight, we didn't go through the home. But wherever avenue God wants to use, we got to be open and willing for God to do that within our lives. Amen. I'm going to read a short story that talks about understanding. It's a short story. It says here, this is a story of four people called Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was some important work that had to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because of this, since it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody understood that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up with everybody blaming somebody, as nobody did what anybody could have done. Now, I don't know if y'all caught that, but what it was saying here, without us understanding something, there's confusion. You know, if we don't understand what God has called us to do, we pretty much just, you know, wasting our time. We're just spinning our wheels. Amen. You know, I don't know fully what God has called me to do, but I have a greater understanding today. You know, and that's why I'm doing what I got to do, vetting and studying and continue to be in a position that God could grow my understanding so that when that time comes, I could fulfill that call fully for the honor of God. Amen. Understanding life from God's perspective is very important for us. You know, without it, like in the story, we become confused and misled by the enemy. Amen. There's many people that's come into church, many men that's been placed in their home, and for whatever reason, they was misled and decided to leave, you know, and instead of being in the position that the guy put them in, they not in the position, and I believe one of those reasons because they was confused by the enemy. That's why it's very important that we pray and study God's word and apply it to our daily lives, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. The Bible reads, For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Amen. I have a point here. It says, if there is something we don't understand, we must go to God and allow God to give us his understanding. Amen. And we also got to be patient. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 46:10, to be still and know that I am God. You know, I didn't, like I said, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't understand nothing about church and God and Jesus Christ. I didn't even know Jesus Christ existed until I got saved. And, you know, I didn't understand things that was asking me at the time, but as I continue to be humble and stay obedient, God grew my understanding. Amen. And that's the same for all of us, you know. So for the brothers in the home right now, I've been in your position. I know that it's hard and it's not the easiest thing to do, but it's a blessing to be where you're at. Amen. I can truly say that because I'm proof of that. You know, 8 years later, you know, I'm being used of God, a usher, a part of leadership, and, you know, I got a decent paying job, and all that comes from staying obedient to God and allowing God to grow my understanding of what he has for my life. Amen. You know, this past Wednesday, Brother Danielle, he was preaching a real good word, you know, of commercial break for those that don't know. Wednesdays at 7 o'clock at the throne prayer, we come and have corporate prayer together. So this is our good God, a good hand of praise. Come on, somebody. There's been some powerful stuff taking place. Preaching's been off the hook. And I encourage you, if you're free on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, come and join us for a corporate prayer. Amen. But Brother Danielle has spoken on three things. He was saying we got to pray with hope, understanding, and valor, you know. And that word understanding stood out to me because sometimes I feel like I don't understand what, you know, the area of prayer, and that's where the message came from. God gave me the title just from, you know, hearing that word on Wednesday, and it's very true. You know, when not only come to prayer, but through every aspect of our life, when it comes to serving God, we have to gain an understanding. You know, we're not going to be affected like prayer, like he was saying. If we don't understand what to pray to God, what he wants us to pray, how are we going to be effective in prayer? Amen. And the same thing when it comes to serving God, ushering, and whatever the case may be, we had to grow our understanding. That comes from spending time with God. Can I get amen, somebody? You know, when it comes to serving God, we're not going to understand everything automatically in the beginning. You know, like I said, I didn't understand nothing. You know, I thought I had a perspective of Victory Outreach, what it's going to be. It was totally different, you know, but it changed my life. It helped me. You know, and it's a great place to be at, you know. And, you know, that's why we got to learn how to trust God. You know, we as humans always want to know things, and we want to know fully to understand something before we do it, but that's not faith. God's thinking and the way he operates is totally different. You know, we got to step out in faith and trust in God. And as we do that, we will gain understanding. Amen. You can turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible reads, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." Amen. I have a point here that says we must live by faith, trusting in God, even when we don't understand. Amen. You know, there's been times where I want to throw in the towel because I didn't understand something. It's hard. It's frustrating. I mean, at least for myself, when we don't understand something, you want to understand it right then and there. But that's not how God operates. You know, the Bible says that if we true to serve God, we got to live by faith and trust in him. Amen. Proverbs 20, verse 24 reads, "The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way?" If we truly believe in God and we truly trust in God with our lives, then we don't have to understand everything at first. You know, I know for a fact God, he know what he's doing. I can think back B.C. before I got saved, before Christ, and the way I was living and my understanding was totally messed up. Come on, somebody. You know, and maybe it's just me, but my understanding was totally messed up. And I know now that I'm saved, God has the correct understanding for my life. Even if I had to wait for a year or 2 years or 10 years, I had to trust in God. Amen. Like Brother Felipe was saying with the married couple, you know, I'm single and I want to get married. I got to trust in God, you know, and the way he sees things and who he has for my life. And I can't jump the gun on that, you know, because if I do that, I'm going to mess things up. I know that for a fact. Amen. And that's the same for all of us. You know, when we get ahead of God, and instead of us humbling ourselves and waiting for God to, you know, give us the understanding that we need, you know, we jump in front of him and we hinder God's calling upon our lives. And that's not good. Amen. I have a point here. It says we won't understand nothing about God at first. It may even be hard to trust God at first, but as we obey God and allow him to be in control, we will gain understanding in due time. You know, and I know that's a fact. You know, like I said, I've been called to be a pastor, you know, to take a city. I kind of know the city, but I can't say for a fact. I'm waiting on God to reveal it to me more and give me confirmation. And at first, I didn't know what city. I didn't know I was called to be a pastor. I didn't know anything about a city that he wanted me to take. But I say that to say I'm gaining a greater understanding because I'm continuing to do what God has asked me to do. And that's the same for all of us. Now, if you're not sure what you've been called to be, just continue to pray, continue to get into God's word, and continue to stay in position. And in his timing, he will reveal it to you. Amen. Abby, we must not let a lack of understanding get us out of position that God has us currently in. You know, sometimes people want to get anxious. You know, they want things right then and there. And we can't allow it to get us out of position, you know. When I got out the home, God had jobs for me, waiting on me, and, You know, he had everything lined up, you know, and God knows what he's doing. We just got to simply be those people that's going to be willing to trust in God in this perfect time. Amen. Now I want to talk about three areas that I believe when I trust in God's understanding of life is going to be tested. The first area is when we are faced with a trial and we don't understand why we are going through what we're faced with. You know, sometimes and when it comes to serving God, we're going to be faced with trials. And sometimes we could be right with God, not in sin and nothing, and we can still be faced with a trial. Sometimes we don't understand why that's taking place, and there's reasons why. Amen. And we could turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. We're going to do a little reading. Job, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. I know all of us are very familiar with this, with the book of Job. You know, Job was a righteous man. God was bragging about Job to Satan, you know, and telling Satan that he was a righteous man and that he was blameless and, you know, and he was perfect. No one on earth was like him at that point in time. And as we're going to read, Job still was faced with a lot of trials and tribulations. Amen. But Job chose to be faithful. And I believe that was because he had an understanding of what God has called him to do. Amen. So let's read Job chapter 1, starting at verse 1. The Bible reads, "There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and strayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire area. Verse 4, Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. When these celebrations ended, sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, perhaps my children have sinned in there and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. One day, the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered, the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and strays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has good reasons to fear God. Verse 10, you have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with the news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Verse 16. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. 3 bands of challenging raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I wouldn't be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Amen. And that was a lot of reading, but there's a lot that we can learn from that portion of Scripture. Amen. I have a point here that says we must learn to trust in God even when things are taking place and we don't understand why they are taking place at that moment. Just like Job, the Bible said that he was blameless. He was righteous and, you know, he shunned from evil. But yet, a lot of things was taking place in his life. And at this end of Scripture, it says that in all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. Amen. And I believe he had an understanding. He realized that although he was not in sin, God was trying to do something in his life. That's what I believe. I may be incorrect, but I believe he had some type of understanding. Something he had to understand something. He was still humble. He still stayed in a position. He didn't blame God. Amen. See, we also have to understand no matter what, we don't understand. Our understanding is limited and not correct. Amen. So, like I said, we could choose to deny the understanding of God. But our understanding is not correct. It's limited. You know, our understanding has to line up with God's understanding for us to go through trials and to see him from his perspective. Amen. You know, there's a lot hits been taking place within the church. You know, a lot of people been getting hit, and unfortunately, some people not here with us. You know, and I believe one of the reasons why is because they didn't have an understanding of what God was trying to do within their lives and through their lives during those times, that those trials they faced. Amen. That's why it's very important that we still pray and still read God's word and continue to move forward. Amen. Like Job did. You know, we're all going to face with trial. The Bible says that Jesus overcame the world. Amen. And we could be of good cheer this evening. Come on, somebody. See, that's a place to get God in the hand prayers. Come on, somebody. I'm very grateful that God overcame this world and I can have victory even when I'm going through trials. Amen. And we also have to understand the things that we face with in this world is temporary. They're not forever. They're for a limited time. You know, we just had to learn how to bear with it and go through it and allow God to show us what he wants us to, you know, see through those trials. Amen. I have another point here. It says, our trials are there for a reason. We must ask God to show us what he wants us to learn from those trials. I'll never forget it. Pastor Jamie was in the VETI class one time we was taking, and he had made that point, you know, when we're going through trials, we must pray and ask God, what is he trying to show us? You know, when we go through trials, maybe God is trying to show us a weak area in our life, or maybe God is trying to use that trial to draw a family member or a coworker or even us closer to him. But whatever the case may be, we have to ask God what he's trying to do. Amen. We got to learn that he's doing it for a reason. You know, even if we don't understand, we just got to trust that God knows what he's doing. Amen. Even when if it hurts and even if it don't feel good, but we got to be like Job and continue to serve God and not to put blame on God, but to know that God is good. Like we say all the time, God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But when something happens, you know, the opposite take place. We got to really walk that. Can I get amen, somebody? You know, I lost my pops earlier in May, and you know, and it hurt. You know, I thought he was going to be around to see me get married and take a city and things of that nature. But no, God had other plans. Amen. And I still got to continue to move forward. I can't let those things hinder me and keep me down. You know, God has called me, you know, especially at a time like this. God needed me to be in a position to continue to, you know, to be used of him. Amen. The second thing I believe that our trust, when it comes to our trust and understanding of God, is going to be tested when there's a lack within our lives. You know, sometimes we go through times where we don't have finances, amen, or times where we, you know, the opposite sex, or sometimes may feel lonely. You know, I'm a single man. I've been single now 8 years, and it gets hard sometimes. And, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, the enemy tempts me to want to jump the gun and do the opposite, you know, and that's why we got to continue to hold on to that word. Come on, somebody. It's hard. Like he was saying, every time they mention the marriage commission, I'm like, I want to go to just crash the party, you know. But I know God's time and his time, and I can't, you know, get ahead of him. I guess y'all got to trust him, amen. Excuse me. If we could turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 11 through 32. This is the parable of the lost son. We all know this scripture, or the prodigal son, in some translation they say. Luke chapter 15, starting verse 11. Amen. The Bible reads, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Excuse me. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. Excuse me. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you, against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servant, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party begun. Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The oldest brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him. But he replied, All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. In all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened cow. His father said to him, Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Amen. The point here says, God knows our heart's desires. He will fulfill them when he's ready to in his perfect timing. Amen. Like the prodigal son, he jumped the gun. He got a little money. He wanted to do his thing, and he kind of realized the goodness that he had. And that's the same with us. We got it good. Come on, somebody. You know, God has it all planned out for us. We just got to stay humble and got to allow God to, you know, to be in control and, you know, just continue to do what we got to do. There's a lot of people that's out there lost about this evening. Come on, somebody. Friday night, people going to party. They're hitting at the liquor stores. And, you know, those people, that's what we need to focus on, them people. Can I get an amen, somebody? Psalms 34:7 says, Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Amen. God is not a God, the Bible says, not like a man that shall lie or change like shifting shadows. God's going to do what he said he's going to do in his word. Amen. It's just up to us to be obedient and continue to be in a position so that God could do that. Amen. I have a point here. It says, getting ahead of God is wrong. Doing this will hinder the building of God's kingdom. You know, God wants to use it to save souls. Pastor Charlie has a heart for the city of Milwaukee, and he can't do it by himself. You know, he needs people like you and I to lock arms with him to do what's necessary to witness to them and to show them the glory of God. Amen. And if we get ahead of God, it's going to be hard for God to use us as those vessels. Amen. We also must learn how to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, not on our desires. Amen. If God said he will give us our heart desires, we just got to believe in that and continue to build the kingdom and continue to disciple and continue to witness to people and continue to be that example in our workplaces and our households and continue to be those people that God needs us to be in this dark world. Amen. And we all have desires, you know. We don't want money. We want to have a nice car and nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we are able to get that in God's timing. We must not let that consume us and be our main focus. Our main focus should be the lost abound. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. The Bible reads, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God set before us. Amen. We must remember, we may be lacking. We may not have all the money in the world. You know, we may not have the clothes and the things that we want to have, but the lost abound, they lacking the greatest thing, which is the Savior Jesus Christ within their lives. Amen. And we should be grateful. We all should be dead or locked up in jail or burning in hell. But through the mercy and grace of God, God has placed us here tonight in his presence, and we should be grateful. Come on. That's right. Give him a hand clap of praise. You know, and there's a lot of people right now, some people may not wake up to see tomorrow morning. You know, without Jesus Christ, you know, that's why we must be grateful and stay focused on the things of God. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Very familiar scripture. One of my favorite scriptures that was given to me while I was in the training center, because I was being selfish at the time. And the Bible says, don't be selfish. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. That's the mindset we should have. Even if we lacking, if we in the finances or whatever the case may be, we gotta keep our focus on the others that's lacking peace in their lives, that's lacking deliverance from drugs or alcoholism or whatever the case may be. Can I get an amen, somebody? The third thing, I believe, when we are faced with a trial and we don't understand what we are going through is when people are coming against us. You know, we get saved, family members, co-workers, they all come against us, you know. They don't understand what God is trying to do within our lives and through our lives. And I believe sometimes when we don't understand that, we allow that to hinder us, you know. Some of us, we close with our family, and, you know, we all love our family. We all want to see our family blessed of God, amen. But we can't allow our family members and co-workers or people that surround us to affect us from worshiping God and serving God. You know, if they choose not to serve God, praise God, it's on them. But like Joshua said, for me and my household, I would serve God. Come on, somebody. And we got to stand on what God has called us to do. Amen. You know, everybody's not going to be happy with us serving God. You know, I got family members that's not happy with me. You know, when I was at my father's funeral, I seen a few of them, and, you know, they was having a little function afterwards or later on that day. And it's like, you can come, but I don't want you to talk about Jesus Christ. We don't hear all that spiritual stuff. I'm like, well, I'm going to stay home then. Because that's what I'm doing now with my life. I'm serving God. And if you don't want to hear it, praise God. Then it's not where I need to be. Amen. And we got to understand that. You know, we can't allow our family members to stop us from coming to church and being in the presence of God. Some people may think we come to church too much. And I have family members say that you spend a lot of time in that church. Yeah, it's a reason why. You spend a lot of time in the liquor store. Y'all wasn't saying nothing there. And, come on, somebody. With the connection, y'all wasn't complaining there. But now that I'm spending time at a place that's blessed my life and changed my life, y'all want to complain? Come on, somebody. If we could turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 37, we're going to do a little reading. This is the story of Joseph. But there's a point that I want to, you know, bring out of this story. Genesis chapter 37, starting at verse 1. The Bible reads, "So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended to his father's flock. He worked for his half-brother, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to the dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, "So do you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I have had another dream," he said. "The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded him. "Excuse me. What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his fathers wondered what the dream meant. Verse 12. Soon after this, Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flock at Shechem. Words be harder to pronounce, man. When they had been gone for some time, Jacob said to Joseph, "Your brothers are pasturing the sheep at Shechem. Get ready and I will send you to them." "I'm ready to go," Joseph replied. "Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along," Jacob said. "Then come back and bring me a report." So Jacob sent him on his way, and Joseph traveled to Shechem from their home in the Valley of Hebron. While he arrived there, a man from the area noticed him wandering around the county side. "What are you looking for?" he asked. "I'm looking for my brothers," Joseph replied. "Do you know where they are pasturing their sheep?" Verse 17 reads, "Yes," the man told him. "They have moved on from here, but I heard them say, 'Let's go on to Dothan.'" So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached them, they made plans to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these citrons. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard of their schemes, he came to Joseph's rescue. "Let's not kill him," he said. "Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our land and hand on him." Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and turn him to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Then, just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming towards them. It was a group of Ishmaelites traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing our brother? We have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelites traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. And the traders took him to Egypt. Sometime later, Reuben returned to get Joseph out of the cistern. When he discovered that Joseph was missing, he tore his clothes in grief. Then he went back to his brothers and lamented, "The boy is gone. What will I do?" Then the brothers killed a young goat and dipped Joseph's robe in his blood. They sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message: "Look at what we found. Doesn't this robe belong to your son?" Their father recognized it immediately. "Yes," he said, "it is my son's robe. A wild animal must have eaten it. Joseph has clearly been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes and dressed himself in burlap. He mourned deeply for his son for a long time. His family all tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "I will go to my grave mourning for my son," he would say, and then he would weep. Meanwhile, the Midianite traders arrived in Egypt, where they sold Joseph to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Potiphar was captain of the palace guard. Amen. You know, that was a lot of reading. So for us today, read our Bible today, we got our Bible reading. Amen. But there's a point in this. A lot of stuff we can learn from this scripture. See, Joseph went through all that stuff he went through. He wasn't in sin or anything. You know, his brothers were hating on him, and because God had a plan for his life. And through all that, Joseph didn't let none of that stuff stop him. And as we, if we could read further, you know, as we read further, we're not going to read, but further down in the scripture, he went to jail for doing nothing wrong. He did right. You know, he got locked up, and he went through a lot of stuff. And he wasn't in sin, but through that all, he continued to serve God. He continued to keep his hands on the plow, and he continued to be in position to be used of God. Amen. And that's the same for us. You know, the Bible says that, like I said, we're going to be faced with trials and tribulations. You know, we got to learn how to humble ourselves and continue to move forward, you know. And sometimes when we go through things, a lot of people choose to do the opposite. You know, they choose to take their hands off the plow a little bit, and instead of witnessing every day, they witness it sometimes, and that's not what God wants us to do. That's what the enemy wants us to do, amen? But we got to be like Joseph and stay obedient, amen? I have a point here that said God will use trials that we face with to not only grow our understanding, but to also win others around. Like a family member, Joseph is a prime example of that. And eventually, this family was won over to God. Amen. As he continued to serve God and continued to stay focused. And eventually, God, he, you know, his family was won over to God. And that's the same for us. You know, although our family members may come against us at times, co-workers may come against us, but if we continue to stay obedient, I believe God will use those trials to draw those people to God. Amen. You know, like I say, sometimes when it comes to witnessing to our family members and our loved ones, you know, we may come off wrong or may come too strong, but, you know, we want to see them saved and want to see them, you know, won over to the Lord. Amen. And, you know, we must not let those things stop us. You know, I know that God's going to win my family over. I really trust in God for that. And in order for that to happen, I got to continue to be in a position. Amen. When we choose to endure those trials that we go through, you know, we receive blessings at the end. Amen. Just like Joseph did, just like Job. You know, at the end of it all, God restored everything he had, I think twice as much as he had. You know, and that's the same for us. You know, when we stay focused and when we stay obedient, you know, through those times that we go through of suffering and trials, you know, God is going to give us blessings at the end. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. As I get ready, you know, to close, the Bible reads, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding." Verse 14, "For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold." Amen. You know, the Bible says that we are blessed when we get understanding from God. I don't know about y'all. I want to see God's blessings. Can I get an amen, somebody? I know we all want to receive the blessings of God, and it's not going to happen if we run. You know, that's what we tend to do when times get tough in our life and things take place. We tend to run, but that's not who we are. And as children of God, like the Bible said in the scripture before, I read, old things have passed away. We new creations now. We got to learn how to get low and pray and stay focused and continue to keep our eyes fixed on God. Amen. If you could turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. The keyboard prayer didn't show up tonight, huh? Amen. We all stand to our feet. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, the Bible reads, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is a foolish. It's foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty clash." Amen. The only way we are able to build on a solid foundation is by gaining God's understanding. I don't want to be a person that's building on sand. You know, I want to build on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And we can't do it if we're not getting that understanding God wants us to have. You know, we all could build, come to church and praise God, but if we're not doing it the way God wants us to do it, we're going to be like a builder that's on sand. Amen. And as I get ready to close out tonight, I believe that we all want to build our lives correctly. We are here for a reason. God has a plan and a purpose for our life. You know, God has called us to win souls and to be a witness out there in this darkened world that we're living in. Amen. And if we're going to be able to do that, we got to gain God's understanding. Like I said, I don't fully understand what God's called me to do, but I have a little more understanding than I had many years ago. Coming from the training center, I know that I'm here to back up my pastor. I know I'm here to help where I need to help at. And, you know, that comes from, you know, being in a position and learning what God wants me to do. You know, and we're not going to be affected if we don't dig in the Word of God and if we don't continue to grow our prayer life and gain a greater understanding. You know, God wants to use us, amen. But we also have to remember there's an enemy that's trying to hinder us, that wants us to go back out there in the world. And that's why it's very important that we gain God's understanding for our lives, so that when the enemy comes with temptation and trials and tribulations, we know how to fight them, amen. So with that said, from right there where you at, let's just bow our heads and let's just lift our voices unto God. Let's just pray tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for this night, Lord God, and I thank you for every man and woman and youth that you have here tonight, Lord God. I just pray, Lord God, that you help us to grow our understanding of your plan and your purpose for our lives, my God. And I also pray, Lord God, that you will continue to help us to grow in the study of your word and our prayer life, my God. And I pray that the message you spoke tonight, Lord God, slid within our hearts and our minds, Lord God. And I just pray you help us, Lord God, to continue, Lord God, to strive to be more like you every day, Lord God, and to let go of our thinking and of our ways and adapt more of your ways and your thinking into our lives, my God. We just thank you so much for this night, Lord God. We thank you for being here present with us, Lord God. Oh, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It's in Jesus' my name we pray. And the church of God says, amen. Come on, church, let's give Jesus a hand of praise. Come on, somebody. I know we can do better than that. Come on, y'all. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah.